Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and I am bringing to you today part two of a four-part series entitled Second Coming, today's title specifically being Be Brave, based off of Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. So let us dive into the Word today. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then, with the 1 bag of silver came the one with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. It is scary taking risks. Sometimes we would rather just not risk anything at all in order to avoid failure and disappointment, ridicule, or rejection. Yet Jesus calls us to risk everything for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, just this past week, I watched 2 movies about 2 people within the same great family. The first film was John Adams, based on the book by historian David McAuliffe of the same name. This film was about one of the most influential of the founding fathers of the United States of America. Dare I say, without John Adams, there may never have been a United States of America. What becomes clear throughout this film is that John and Abigail Adams and their children risked more than most people can possibly imagine. We often take the American Revolution for granted as we know how it ended, or so we think. The truth is that John Adams risked his life and the lives of his family by investing his life in justice and freedom. John and Abigail were avid letter writers and would often write back and forth to one another about how they missed each other, how much they loved each other. John Adams continually referred to her as his best friend, his dear friend. She would refer to him as her dear friend and as her good man. They endearly loved each other, but they would have to tone down what they wrote about in case any of those letters were intercepted by British troops or intelligence. John Adams risked his reputation when he successfully defended the British soldiers who killed 5 Bostonians in the Boston Massacre. You see, he realized that those British soldiers were simply acting out of fear and defense of their lives because they were being attacked by an angry mob. And actually, the first shot that fired out turned out to be an accident, as one of the British soldiers had been hit in the head with a club, dropped his gun, and it discharged. And John Adams risked his reputation and everything to defend British troops, which was an unpopular thing to do in that time period with that kind of tension going on. He sacrificed spending time with his family in order to travel hundreds of miles away to Philadelphia to be a part of the Continental Congress. He risked being hung to death for being a ringleader of treason and rebellion. As president, he risked re-election to ensure that the USA didn't get into an unnecessary war with France. In fact, he lost re-election over just that, but he saved the country in the process. And those are just a few of the things that John Adams accomplished. The second film was about the trial around La Amistad, a slave trade ship. A schooner, actually. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with La Amistad or the Amistad, it was a ship that was carrying Africans, in the slave trade from the main place in Cuba to other places in Cuba around the island to sell them off for, you know, money. 3 days into their travels from the main port in Cuba to these other places that they were heading, one of the slaves, one of the Africans named Joseph Sinque, actually was able to get free from his bonds and then freed the rest of the slaves. And they went up on board and killed the cook and killed the captain and held the owners of the ship and the ones who were planning on selling them off captive with the hopes that they would lead them back to Africa, back to where they were from in Sierra Leone, which was British occupied. And it's important to note that in Britain by that time, slave trade was illegal. It was banned in England far earlier than it was in our country. And so as it turns out, they end up zigzagging their way up north, and they get brought into Long Island, into New York, and then end up held in prison in Connecticut awaiting trial. And a young trial lawyer took on their case and defended them vigorously, and they won the first case and were said to be set free. But then it was appealed and went to a circuit court and won there and were to be set free. But then Martin Van Buren, who was the president at the time, he was afraid that the slaves getting free would upset the South, would lead the country closer to civil war, and would cost him re-election, which was the biggest thing that he had to worry about in his mind. And so he appealed to the Supreme Court. And so Joseph Sinque and his fellow Africans were taken to the Supreme Court, where former president, John Quincy Adams, son of John Adams, took up their case along with this other younger trial lawyer, and ended up having the courts rule, basically having the courts rule in favor of the Africans. The young lawyer who represented these Africans took many risks to do so. including appealing to John Adams' son, John Quincy Adams, to help save the courts. And at first, John Quincy Adams didn't want to involve himself in it. He was not in favor of slavery, but he had politically kept himself kind of neutral. You know, he was neither an abolitionist nor was he a proponent of slavery, so he described himself. But once the first and second trials were won, and President Martin Van Buren appealed and had it brought to the Supreme Court, again because he was afraid that slaves being released would cost him the re-election and that he would potentially lead the country closer to civil war and would lose support in the South. Upon that news, John Quincy Adams decided that in that moment it was better for him to stand up for what he believed than to allow innocent people to be politicized and then killed. So John Quincy Adams decided to invest himself in the lives of these African victims and the slave trade. As a result of his investment and the risk he took to come out definitively on the side of the abolitionists, the Supreme Court ended up voting 8-1 to free those slaves and give them the opportunity to return home if, as free men and women, they chose to do so. And what that did was set a precedent at the highest court in the land, stating that illegal slavery and the illegal capture of people is not okay. And if they choose to defend themselves, even if it means they kill people to do so, they're in their right to do that, because who wouldn't? Who wouldn't defend themselves against being kidnapped and forced into slavery? And so this was the beginning of the crack in the shell of slavery, and civil war indeed was right around the corner from that point onward, and slavery, that was a big win for the abolitionists, for sure. Now, we all have fear of taking risks. Some of us may be more paralyzed by it than others, but that is a common human fear. We fear taking risks because none of us like to experience loss or failure or rejection. Such fear can cause us to play things safe, to be cautious, and to lie and make excuses for why we do so. Surely, it would be better for us to not lose what we have than to lose it all, right? Hopefully you have noticed that this series is based on Matthew 25. This is the chapter in which Jesus tells three parables to explain the kingdom of heaven and how one inherits it. In today's reading, Jesus told what has become known as the parable of the talents. In this parable, a landowner hands a sum of money to each of his three servants. The first was handed 5 bags of silver, the second was given 2 bags of silver, the third was given 1 bag of silver, each to their own abilities. And to each of them, this landowner entrusted his money with them while he was gone. Entrusted, meaning it wasn't theirs, it was theirs to take care of. Jesus then tells us that the first servant invested the silver and doubled the amount of silver he had to 10 bags of silver. And the second servant did likewise, invested what he was given and doubled his bag to 4 bags of silver. The third servant, however, was afraid because he knew that his master, or so he thought, that his master was a harsh person and was scrupulous and would punish him if he were to lose a dime. And so he buried the one bag he was given to ensure not a single piece of the silver was lost. Now let's pause there. We know how the parable ends. However, doesn't the third servant seem the most logical and reasonable? Anyone who has invested money in the past knows that investments can reap rewards, but it is risky business, and you can lose money too. And if it's not your money to invest, should you invest it? The servant who buried his money did what was safe. And when his master returned, he was guaranteed to give back exactly what his master gave him. Not a dime was lost. That's, again, one thing to invest your money, but to invest someone else's money, which has been entrusted to you, that seems a little too risky, right? Yet it was the servants who took the risk that were rewarded. And it was the one who played it safe who was shunned by the master. In fact, the master took the one bag that the third servant buried and gave it to the one who took the biggest risk and had the most bags of silver, and that was his money to keep from that point on. Here's the meaning of the parable further revealed to us today. God has given you all many gifts. In fact, as we have discussed in the past, everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have, from the air we breathe to the talents, to our talents, to our possessions, are gifts from God. God has entrusted us with everything we have. Will you be the first two servants who take risks to fully invest in God's gifts? Or will you play it safe and keep the gifts buried so that you don't lose any of them? When Jesus returns, when his kingdom is upon us, which of the servants will we be? Will we have done all we can? Will we have done all we can do to double what we've been given? Will we have risked it all for the glory of God? Or will we sit on what we have, hoping that we lose nothing along the way? If we choose the latter, then that is the only reward we will reap. If we can even reap that reward, remember, the third servant's one bag of silver was taken from him in the end and given to the first servant. Let us be brave. Let us be brave people who choose the risky business of fully investing in what God has given us. Let us be brave. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you called us to be brave, to stand up and take risks, to do the unthinkable. Lord, if we look to you as a harsh judge, and we fear taking risks because it might cost us not being granted the inheritance of heaven, or if we fear hell, we're doing the exact opposite of what Jesus taught us to do in this parable. If we're afraid to take risks in loving people, caring for people, growing your kingdom, and witnessing to the world your mighty glory and love, then we have forsaken the gospel. Help us to be a people who grow bold in our desire to witness and to give it all to do so. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you for tuning in. It is always my honor and pleasure to be able to bring these messages to you. I hope that you are inspired as well as challenged by them, and that you are really willing to grow in boldness and take the risk to be a servant of Jesus Christ. God knows none of us are perfect in that, but if you open your hearts to God, there is nothing that will stop you. With all that said, of course, friends, remember to check out the episode notes. There's a lot of information in there. If you are, if you are getting this as your church during quarantine and have nothing else that you're giving to, we would love for you to support us. You can find the links to do so in the episode notes. But if this is supplemental and you are attending another church elsewhere or faith community, by all means support them. They need it as well. But in all things, remember you are richly blessed so that you might be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.